Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Open call Wednesday. You have the topic. You call in. We discuss it. We normally give you a topic, tell you this is what we're talking about today. So Wednesdays on a hump day, we allow you the opportunity to help us get over the hump as well. So we get to a point where we get weighed down too. And we want to get some things from you, find out what's been, tugging at you. 301-230-0980. Whether it's basketball, baseball, hockey. Football season ending, playoffs still continuing. You know, what is it that you want to talk about? Right now, let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to start in D.C. with Lap. What's up, Lap? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, B. Mitch? Hope you and your family are well, man. Love you, bro. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate you, bro.
Hey, man, I'm sick of Scotty, man. You know, I done came on this airways plenty of times talking about him, man. After that Celtics series, man, I was done with him. And then I was disappointed with the last 2 years because we had a chance when the Eastern Conference at the bottom of it wasn't that bad, you know, was bad. You know, these young guys that could have got that playoff experience. And then you scrambling around, don't know what your lineup is. A lot of those guys was on the team last year, you know, Matthews and Bogner. And it was a bunch of guys that he could have used. And I like Neto, but this is crazy. I'm still upset about the John Wall trade because I think John Wall still has something to play for and something to prove. And from him, and then he's just a team first guy. You know what I'm saying? I like Westbrook, but I think he wants some stat chasing stuff, man. And I think our team would have been a much better team with John Wall. That's just my take. But I want Scott Brooks out of there.
All right, man.
And then we see what happens.
All right. Appreciate your call. A lot of people have felt that way for a while with Scott. I just think that coaches get a longer leash than players. You know, I've listened to people talk about the players, and the players are ran out of town after they have a bad half, bad quarter, bad series. You know, coaches can be around for a long time. And I've always said that's the one you should be more pissed at because they getting all their money guaranteed. Well, I forgot we're talking about the NBA. The players get all their money too. So it's just one of those things. But, I think – John also started to say he wanted to be gone. And the Wiz are the ones that have been dealing with him with the injuries and all that stuff. Could they know something that we don't know? I don't think right now we know if that was a good trade for Houston or a good trade for Washington. At this point, both of them not playing well. But as it goes on, we'll figure out something. And I think the answer of why may pop up. And we'll figure it out as to that's why they did it, okay? We'll see. We don't know that right now. No, Westbrook is dealing with his quad, and you know, you got James Harden wanting to get out of Houston. He wanted to get out of before John got there, so that's probably nothing to do with John. But John is on the other side saying, "Oh no, it's just 9 games in." We'll see if it's just 9 games in or is it a major problem. Let's go to Norfolk. Check out Paulie. What's up, Paulie?
Big bro, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
I'm doing well too, man. Hey, man, it's crazy you brought up that whole black head coach or minority head coach thing because I was scrolling through Twitter and I seen them saying that Bienemy wasn't interviewing well. And I started thinking like, man, here we go. Last year was where he didn't call the plays. It was actually Andy Reid calling the plays. And it seems that's what it always is, man. It's like they're going to find a reason not to hire him again. And, mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's crazy because, you know, a couple of years back, you know, if you was white, if you was a white coach and you had anything to do with Sean McVay, they was throwing jobs at you.
Even if you didn't interview.
Even if you did interview, they was throwing them at you. So, I mean, and you know, you have Mike Jones on there and he was saying, well, the NFL did their part. Well, did they really do their part? I mean, making that rule, you know, that they did, I don't think that's really changing too much, man. If Bieniemy don't get a job this year, it's going to have a lot of soul searching going on. You know, well, you know, maybe they have the wrong person that's doing the interview with them because obviously they're not relating to these African American guys, especially these younger guys. So I don't know, man. I think
what Mike is trying to tell you, Paulie, is that the NFL and listening to Tagliabue. Not Tagliabue, Goodell. I went to Tagliabue, I went way back. Listening to Goodell and also having Troy Vincent on, they have tried to put stuff to make sure that the owners understand. But it's the 32 people that make the final decision that has to change. And when you hear the NFL, you're talking about Goodell and his office. He's trying to be a person who's being, you know, in the forefront and moving things along. But you got a bunch of owners that still think prehistorically. And they're not making the final decision. When you hear people say, you know, how a person, oh, he's not interviewing well. He didn't do. Have you listened to Doug Peterson talk? Have you listened to Matt Patricia talk? You know, some of these coaches you listen to them talk, what's the difference? It's just that they find excuses. And I think James Brown once told me, be who you are. Okay? And that's what I've done. I may not say everything exactly like the next man said, but I'm damn sure going to say what I believe and what I feel. And I think that's the thing that people understand about Brian Mitchell is that I'm going to give you what I think, what I feel. I'm not going to try to give it to you in somebody else's way because then I'm not being genuine to you. And I think some of these owners expect a person to sound a certain way. He's not teaching an English class. He's calling football plays. And he has seen the work against everybody in the league, and I don't see why they won't give him that opportunity. Hey, if any of the Ryan brothers got a damn job in the NFL, they shouldn't have a problem with anybody out there. Hell, Rex and his brother look like a bunch of damn wrestlers. They don't sound like they're the best of the best either. And they haven't always produced. So some of those excuses are a bunch of BS, and we all know it. And I think they should, just like you want to hold players accountable to certain things, hold owners. Prove it to them. Let's see how it goes. We'll continue on. We're going to take us a break here. 301-230-0980. Different topics. Football, hockey, basketball, baseball, something else that might be pushing at you. You may not like me. Hey, call us and talk about it. 301-230-0980. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, the radio.com app. And also, if you missed the Mike Jones interview a little bit earlier, go to the radio.com rewind feature. Find the Team 980. Take your finger, zip back. You can go in. You can listen to the whole interview or parts of it, whatever you feel like listening to. That's the radio.com rewind feature. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. We'll be back in a few.
Download the radio.com app and favorite the Team 980 to listen anytime. Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the radio.com app.
All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. Radio.com, team980.com, and the Team 980. I'm going to read this little quote, and I understand George Hill's point of reference and emphasis. He said, we want to play the game, but I don't understand some of the rules. We can sweat 48 minutes with the guy next to us for 48 minutes, okay? 48 straight minutes. But we can't talk to them afterwards? It makes no sense. Think about that. You're out there. You're right. You're man to man. You're bumping people. You're sweating on them. Hell, you inhaling they're breathing. You're inhaling it because you're that close. But after the game, you can't talk because that's going to transfer the virus. What the hell makes them think the 48 minutes of the game won't transfer it?
And I understand that we'll talk to Chris Miles a little bit later on, and his point is, well, give them, the players should give their money back. But the player does have a sense. And this is a smart one. I am bumping you, physically roughing you up for 48 minutes, but me having a five-second conversation with you after the game is something that's reprimanded. You can't do that. Don't make much sense. You know? You got to be in your hotel room. When you get to the hotel, you cannot leave the hotel at all. Doesn't sound like a sport to me. Sound like I'm telling you how to live your life. But ultimately, we'll see how it happens, and it's a lot of money at stake. And we'll see what the players think about it. One other player stated that I want to get this thing over with. I want to get back to normal. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Thunder. He said, it's what's necessary. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get rid of this COVID thing. You know, if it means I have to wear a mask on the bench the whole time, it is what it is, and I'm going to do it. I want to get back to normal living and whatever it takes to get back. I'm going to do it. I think it's different levels of people and different mindsets, but ultimately, don't tell me I can bump you for 48 minutes, but I can't talk to you for 50 seconds or less after a game. That doesn't really seem to make sense, but it's beneficial to the end result, the NBA getting that cheddar, which in turn means the players get their cheddar. We're taking your phone calls, open call segment, different topics you want to talk about. That's something that popped into my head. We will be talking to Chris Miles a little bit later on about the NBA and how they're going to handle this situation. And it seems to me, when they were in the bubble, it worked. But will they have to go? Because I think they put the first half of the schedule out. They didn't put the second half. Will the second half have to move to a bubble-type situation? Will the players be looking forward to doing something like that? At this point, I highly doubt it. But once they start talking about that cheddar, I think they'll go along with whatever the hell they're supposed to go along with. Let's go to Brunswick and check out Roy. What's up, Roy? How you doing, man?
Hey, awesome show as always, D-Mitch.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Redskins, but yeah, you're right. That doesn't make sense. I mean, that's like when we went to Topgolf, and they asked us to have our mask on while we were swinging when we were alone on the mat. But then as long as we had a beer in our hand, they didn't ask us to put a mask on. So we all just held on to beers for like a couple hours, and they never asked us to put on a mask.
It's so like, you have the beer in your hand. Let me ask you this, Roy. When you're drinking a beer, and you had maybe two or three, don't you you normally get closer to your friends and start talking to them then, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as long as you had a drink in your hand or, like, looked like you were about to eat, they didn't care. But when you were, but they were like, hey, put your mask on while you were by yourself swinging the club. We just thought that was so funny and didn't make any sense. But
yeah,
what I was going to ask you is, you know, the team struggled at times against the run. I mean, even in, like, the Giants game and without Saquon, I mean, they had a tough time stopping – Alf and Gallman, and just when teams really put their mind to running against us, it seemed like they could do it effectively, even when everybody knew it was coming to kind of close out games.
Yeah.
I would think that Rivera is going to look for like a London Fletcher type inside linebacker. I know Ioannidis coming back will help, and, yeah. And I know you know, if Reuben Foster ever gets healthy and he plays inside, it would help. But where would you see, as you know, would you rather have a veteran that you know can fill gaps and read, run, and pass, or do you think there's somebody in the draft, or how do you think? You know, obviously Landon Collins coming back will help a little bit, but I think that we need an inside linebacker. Where do you think we should get it, and who would you want?
I'm going to address it like this. I believe that a legitimate inside linebacker will help, but I also believe that the play of the interior D lineman will help too. If a guy – when you watch those guys running, it was normally those D linemen getting blocked by one person, or they were easily being blocked by a double so that the next person could get up to the linebacker. I always use this analogy. Ray Lewis, who many of us considered top two, three, four at the most linebacker to ever play in the NFL. And Ray Lewis was having these spectacular years. Sam Adams, Tony Siragusa. Those guys retired. Ray Lewis began to drop off just a little bit. Ray Lewis said, if you put another person like Tony Siragusa, Sam Adams in front of me, I could be the same Ray Lewis I was before. They drafted Haloti Ngata, who was a guy who could come in and take on a double team and hold those guys up and also grab their shoulder pads inside a little bit so they can't get off and Ray could run the gaps.
So when you hear people trying to blame it all on a linebacker, that's not a fact. If your D linemen are getting blocked or blown off the ball, that linebacker can't do his job at a high level. So there were inconsistencies in our interior D line. And I said it throughout the year. Yes, we could, at certain points, we looked dominant. And other points, we didn't. Like in late in the season, we played against Seattle. They run the ball 10 straight times for 74 yards, and they get a touchdown at the end. Yes, it's one drive, one series, but they didn't do anything strange but break the huddle, line up, and come straight downhill at us. And then you got into the game on Sunday in the playoffs. You know, and I understand it's 1 year that they've been in this offense. They were playing a different system where they had the two gap at first. Now they can hit the different gap. Are they hitting the right gap? Sometimes you got to go down the middle of a person, extend your arm, and dismiss them one side or the other. Because what a smart running back is going to do is start one way to get you to jump, and guess what that offensive line is going to do? Keep taking you that direction. And they'll get through. They'll get skinny and get through those holes. So we have some spectacular defensive line play. But they can execute at a higher level. And I don't think I'm bashing or knocking anybody by saying that. I would think that Coach Rivera and Coach Del Rio would both say the same thing. Yes, we were good at points. But we have to be much better at points. You got to play like that little thing about the peaks and the valley. Those valleys got to be far more than the damn peaks. I mean, the peaks got to be far more than the valleys. So if you're doing it most of the time, people begin to shy away from trying it. But if they are having success from you and they see that the previous team had success from you, against you with it, they are going to come out and try it. And many teams, and you were right, Roy, the Giants were effective. And sometimes it was because we got blocked. And there were times when our linebackers hit the wrong hole, weren't there, they got blocked. I see a lot of people doing the waltz. You get blocked, but you got to learn how to disengage. And that goes for the D lineman and the O lineman. Because football, being a dominant defense, is not just about pass rush. Stop the run, especially late in the season. Let's go to D.C. and get my man Carter. What's up, Carter?
Hey, Ben Mitch, how you been, brother?
I'm good, man.
All right. Yeah, so, man, as far as this COVID thing go, man, these people are crazy as hell. I'm going to tell you, my boss tells me, right? I work in a booth, and there's a vehicle screener booth. And three of us are sitting inside the booth, and he asked me, you know, were we sitting in there, and did we have our mask on? And I tell him, I'm like, LT, we work 8 to 12 hour shifts, sometimes 15 with the same people every day. I was like, you know, so nah, I got comfortable. I took it off because I had to go miss a few days from work, you know, to go get tested to make sure I was good, right? Because somebody had came. Comfortable. I took it off because I had to go miss a few days from work, you know, to go get tested to make sure I was good, right? Because somebody came up positive. And he got hysterical. Man, you know better than that, Carter, man. You know I expect more from you. And I'm like, hold, let me stop you right there, good man. I was saying, it was six of y'all behind the glass where we draw our weapons from. And none of y'all got no damn mask on. I was like, is it the rank that, you know, allow y'all to not get COVID? Because, I mean, it fall right in line with what Shea Gilgeous-Alexander said. The people, the higher power are choosing when we should, I guess, take precautions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the gray area, I think, that allow these outbursts and cases of COVID. And the truth is, our leaders on a lower level, not necessarily a higher level like the government, like everybody want to make it out. The leaders on the lower level are the people who are dropping the ball on this.
Yeah. You got a point.
And I wonder, another thing, man, because it's been a while since I talked to you, brother. Man, what the hell is wrong with people getting mad at a guy like Chase Young, who, what, if I'm not mistaken, 22, 23 years old? I used to watch that man get on the school bus before the dreads fell, before the tattoos came, and before the muscles fell out, when he filled out. What the hell is wrong with him saying he want to share the field with Brady? I want Brady. Like, people act as if he shouldn't have asked for Brady.
If I can sack Brady, I'm only 5'9 and about 190 pounds. But if I got the chance to sack Brady, I'm screaming for Brady. I wouldn't give a hell if they had every pro, all pro lineman. Give me a chance to tackle him. I go out there with Chase Young jersey on, down to my damn knee, and the helmet covering my eyes to get a chance to sack Brady.
You see, Carter, this is what it is, man. And like you talked about, the first thing you talked about, like the people down, I have a little bike riding club, the Riding 30 Club, and I ordered these gaiters to wear. You know, it's hard to keep the mask with you, so you can put a mask on, but you have the gaiter that you can put around your neck, you can pull it up around your nose Absolutely. When you're getting ready to go somewhere. Absolutely. So I made sure everybody had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's important that I take care of my people. You get what I'm saying?
As a leader.
So that's what I think, like you're saying, the people at the lower level, they got to find a way. But that thing with Chase Young is that so many people that outside the sport, they think they know exactly what the sport is. And as I said the other day, Tom Brady did not need to hear Chase Young say what he said to prepare for the game.
Thank you.
Chase Young
already was thinking at the same level.
Yeah, Chase Young wasn't being disrespectful. He was saying, like he said when he did the interview one-on-one with J.P. Finley, he said, I've been watching this man all my life. And if you think I don't want to get on the field and try to sack him, you're out your damn mind. That's all he was saying. But I listen, I would never get on here and say what somebody shouldn't say. Because I think Chase Young has been at a position throughout his football playing days to where he had that target on his back.
Mm-hmm.
So you think if Chase Young didn't say a word, the target wouldn't have been on his back? Did y'all not just see that he had a defensive rookie of the year? So everybody on that team was like, we better block number 99 or we're going to be in trouble.
It was a wall around Brady.
Dude, that's it.
Defense, man. It was good to hear from you. I love you, man. I miss y'all. Wish I could talk more, man.
Hey, man, wear that mask and listen to your superiors.
Yeah, right. When you say so.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Yeah, but I think that's the whole thing about it. Where it comes down to, so many times we – I played the game. I've been out the game for a while. But I still understand the mindset of people that are playing that game of football. You don't think like the regular person. Hell, you can't think like the regular person. The regular person get a torn ACL, they don't walk straight the rest of their lives. An NFL football player get a torn ACL, he's trying to play in less than a year. The regular person get a high ankle sprain, they're limping for a year and a half. An NFL player get one, we expect them to play next week. Okay? You have a turf toe. I never heard a turf toe. I never had it. Well, you won't have it because you're not putting your body in the positions and the situations that NFL player is. So when an NFL player goes out there and get turf toe, you want him to be what he was prior to the turf toe. But what I've learned over the years is that turf toe and high ankle sprain are probably two of the most serious injuries that any football player can get, because they are those painful things to where it hurts to step. Like, I never saw somebody with serious gout. I always hear people say they had gout till Rob Carlin was doing a show with me. And Rob Carlin got gout. He couldn't even put on long pants because when they rub across his toe, it was that painful. He had to come to work. Like, you know, we see occasionally a guy come from behind a desk and they have on shorts. He had to wear shorts and flip-flops. And I'm like, dude, it hurt that bad? He said, B. Mitch, I'm telling you, if it just touches it. So for every man out there, you understand if we get a certain area in my D.C. voice, a certain area touched on our body, it can make us become sopranos and altos real quick. You know what I'm talking about. That, I guess, that gout and that big toe, it's probably more painful than that. So a lot of times, let's just understand, that person that we expect to do these superhuman things, they think in a superhuman way. And some guys, when they're saying something, they're trying to get you off your game. But I don't think saying something got Tom Brady prepared or will get him off his game. But if it gets you up to play, go for it. Let's go to Jacksonville. Check out John. What's up, John? Man, I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I've been listening, been a little busy down here. Good to talk to you, B-Mitch. So a couple things I wanted to share with you. Hope you're doing
well. First of all, y'all
going
to get Urban Meyer?
Well, you know what? It's so funny because the local sports guys here, they're like waiting any minute. They think they're going to hear something today.
$15 million a year. Woo!
I know. So it'll definitely be interesting. Definitely make a splash there.
Oh, yeah.
But what I wanted to share with you, first of all, I wanted to ask you, if things are back to normal, and hope to God they are, will training camp take place in Richmond this year?
I don't know. I would think so because I think they had a year or two left, and I would think that they would want to go down there and keep that little thing going, you know, that the goodwill. I would think so, but then it's not a guarantee. You never know.
Yeah. And on a lighter note, so I will tell you this. I have never felt so good about Washington after a loss than I ever have. Probably it was just very satisfying because I feel like the arrow is pointing up for sure. And I can tell you why, because living in here, I always feel like I'm always having to defend the team. You know, usually it's something negative about Daniel Snyder or you guys suck or this and that. And for the last couple months, it's been refreshing. I'll talk to my friends at gym. I say, hey, you guys are looking good. Ron Rivera is really turning things around. And it's all about the culture. And I'm hearing about Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio. Obviously, everybody knows Jack Del Rio here because he was former Jags head coach. Mm-hmm. But what's nice, you hear about them and the players and the culture. And you know what you don't hear about? Daniel Snyder, which is refreshing.
You don't hear about the negative. You don't hear about the off-the-field stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the change is amazing. I'm feeling really strong about it. And I didn't realize until just recently, Julie Donaldson is from here.
Yeah.
So, in fact, she went to high school not far from where I live. And I'm like, well, son of a gun, I did not realize that.
I was about to say you went to high school with her. I'm about to say, you're not that young, John.
Oh, no. I'm turning 60 this year. No. But, I know. Tell me about it. But one thing I do want to talk about.
I see why you stay on that beach. Keeps you young.
Yeah. I have to. But what cracks me up, though, is when I'm driving down the road and somebody's in the car by themselves wearing a mask. Are you afraid of giving it to yourself? I just don't get that.
Yeah.
That's what makes me laugh. And I'm talking about young people, not older people, young people.
I just think that that we hear so many things we don't know, and we just try to make sure. Some of us just look, I'm going to be precautious because if I take it off in the car, I'm going to forget it in the car. So I'm going to just leave it on. That's how I think some people think.
Yeah. And I've been kind of following you a little bit with your biking and stuff, and of course, with your working out too. As I said, you give me motivation. And I want to ask you, since you've stopped playing football, do you wake up with pain every day?
Nope.
Good.
Listen, I'll say this. I might have pain, but I guess my mindset has always been something I fight through it. But I don't wake up where I can't move, can't walk. And I hear my friends saying that, and I'm like, well, I haven't done it yet, and I'm praying every night that I don't have to deal with it.
I'm with you. But you're so active, too. And, of course, your mindset is great, too. And that's huge. I tell people that, too.
Trying to stay young in the mind. I hope it keeps me – I say young in the mind, I hope it keeps my body young.
Yes. Great to talk to you, B.
All right, John. Appreciate you, man.
Take care.
All
right. Bye-bye.
All right. And we had our open call segment there. We'll continue on the other side. But let's see what's trending around the sports world.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, Virginia Tech beat Duke last night. That's trending 74-67. You had Tyrese Radford lead the way with 18 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists at the guard position. We talked to Ken Carman yesterday about the Cleveland Browns being in the playoffs from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. And the Browns, they're getting a gift here. They're getting both of their defensive backs back. Denzel Ward and Kevin Johnson are coming off the COVID list. And also Kevin Stefanski will probably be back with the team on Thursday. Bill Callahan has rejoined the football team. And they need everybody in place because they're taking on the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. And you're going to need everybody out there. Also expecting Joel Bitonio, their guard, to come off the reserve COVID-19 list as well. Tomorrow, we'll be talking to Joe Beninati at 12:15. The Caps will be taking on the Buffalo Sabres as they kick off their new season. And we have Joe B at 12:15. Make sure you tune in to the Brian Mitchell Show there. James Harden saying that the things in Houston, The situation is just crazy and it's not fixable. John Wall says no, it's just 9 games. You want to jump off. We'll talk to Chris Miles at 12:15 about that. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app. Back in the field.
The only way to stream the Team 980 on your phone or smart speaker is with the Radio.com app. Presented by Regency Furniture. This weekend, shop the 72-hour Red Tag Savings event at Regency Furniture with Red Tag Savings up to 72% off store-wide. Free delivery and no interest financing.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
All right, the Daily Sports Line is brought to you by DC Lottery's new sports book, Gambit DC. Download today at gambetdc.com and access spreads, money line, over and under, and live in-game betting all at your fingertips. It's sports, only better. We're taking your calls and we're getting open phone lines today. Your topic, you choose. You ask, we talk about it. We may agree, we may not agree, but it is how it goes. On Wednesdays, I got to get over the hump sometimes. You know, because I can't do it all by myself, and I call you all the co-host because, you know what, you help me. You sometimes open my eyes to different things, and sometimes close my eyes to different things. It just happens that way sometimes. But we're going to get back to the phone lines, and let's go straight to Falls Church and check out Mike. What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
Hey, B. Mitch, first-time caller since 1994. I've been following you guys.
Well, appreciate it, man.
For years now. First-time caller, I met you in Collector's Corner over in Annandale with my children.
Wow.
And got a signature from you, and then you gave me a choice of giving me a Washington Redskins picture of you returning a punt and then a Philadelphia Eagles picture, and I kind of chuckled, like, you got to be kidding me, man.
Hey, I just asked you which one you wanted because I had both of them.
I know, but you know, I have like a lot of cards from you back in the 80s. In 1990s, but uh-huh. I'll tell you right now. So, first time caller, I didn't know I could get through on the station, but I had to get something off my chest, man, about this COVID-19 thing.
Okay.
Listen, I work in Ashburn as a store director, one of the major retailers, grocery retailers down there. A lot of Redskins, Washington football team, players shop in my store, including, okay. Sean Springs, Smoot. You know, I know all of them. But I'll tell you right now, beginning of the pandemic back in when it hit in late March, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, out of 319 people that I employ, none of them had COVID, and we're in the front line.
Yeah.
Get a load of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got lines, the laughter lines after lines that we mandated the mask in late April or so. None have gotten COVID. This is such a political thing that it's just it's stupid to think about. You know, they're closing all these restaurants, and guess what? All the grocery stores are still open, you know. So I just want to get your take on that, because you know, as a retailer, you know, nobody's getting COVID from us. Yes, we get the sinus flu and everything else, but it ain't COVID. You know, of course, people call in sick and everything else, and that's part of the business. But nobody got COVID.
All right, I think it's been made political. I don't think it is political. See where I'm coming from with that?
In my community, it's political. You know, two things that you don't want to talk about is religion and politics.
It was made to be political. It's not political because I think it's an actual thing. If it wasn't a thing, then I would totally go along with you. I would say you should be commended because you said you mandated certain things. A lot of people didn't mandate things. You know,
right.
So maybe, just maybe, you got ahead of it. Your people listening, they found out we're not getting it, so they're not going to change from what they were doing. But there are those out there who want to just go without and do whatever. So what if you didn't mandate any wearing the mask and everybody came into your store without mask on? I don't think we'll be having the same conversation right now.
Well, that's true, too. But also there's what is called Instacart people. When they have apps on their phone and they stick your phone in front of you, there's supposed to be six foot distancing between them.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing for us. And that's something that we took care of the actual company that that does all that program for the, you know, the online shopping program.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, we took care of that. But as of right now, as January, knock on wood, we haven't had a single case in our whole entire company of COVID.
And I'll say, Mike, I say you should be commended, and your company should be commended, because you didn't wait. You mandated stuff off the bat. That's what you just said, right? Didn't you?
Right, right.
Maybe
right.
Other people should have listened to you and did what you did, and maybe then we would have a lot less cases, a lot less what's going on. But I don't think it's political. I think it was made to be political.
Yeah, I get that. It's a topic of conversation all the time. Second thing, actually, I got two more things. I think you should be in the Hall of Fame, man. To be honest with you.
Hopefully, one day.
Honest, I mean, I'm not being biased or anything, but I think you're due. You know, just watching your films back in the day, you know, how your punt returns and you know, your kickback returns, you lit up the crowd, man. It's pretty cool. I got old VHS tapes about you. You should be in the Hall of Fame, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Third, Tyler Heinicke. Listen, everybody in the whole Northern Virginia region, you know, when we saw this guy, we were all nervous. And then he lit it up with his with his running ability and his throwing stuff on a dime. But, man, he laid it out on a line. But if he starts next year, that's only going to last for four dang games, man, because he's going to get injured. He got injured diving for that that post. So I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, one thing, thanks for your call. I'd say football, is you're going to get injured. He's no smaller than Drew Brees. Drew Brees has played 19 years. But if he were to become your starter, I think the coach has to sit him down and tell him what's his job. His job is not to play balls to the wall on every play. His job is to make sure he's there week in and week out for his team. And every once in a while, if it's a touchdown to win a game to move us in the playoffs, go airborne. But if it's a play where you're just trying to get a first down to extend the drive where we're already up by 21, don't do it. And I think that's the thing about it, where we see how people play, we look at their size, and we automatically assume. So a lot of people that were smaller than him that played in this league for a long time. Darryl Green, 5'8", 185 pounds, played 20 years in the league. So I that's what I look at. And I just say, I haven't been one to say, oh, he should start next year, but I damn sure believe he should be in that competition or in the conversation, because if the offense that all four quarterbacks ran this year is what he was running, nobody ran it more effectively than what he did. And that's what I would need to see. A guy getting it out of his hands quickly to the playmakers and being able to run. Because I watched some quarterbacks, they didn't go down the field with it. So what was the difference? Does he have better vision, or just he did not have the fear of throwing it down the field? I'll take those chances with him. But I don't know if it's going to be the starter, but I would want somebody like that on my roster that could come off the bench and spark a lot for my football team. Let's go to Rockville, check out Shannon. What's up, Shannon?
Good afternoon, Brian. It's a first-time caller. I've listened to you every day. I miss Doc on there, you know, as well, because you guys – call it like it is. I'm a lot older than you, but I'm a cyclist as well, just like you.
Good stuff.
And I actually put rides together in the DMV with the guys that I ride with. So I'd like to coordinate one day with your Riding 30 Club, and maybe we can get together and ride, do one of your rides, and you can do one of ours.
That'd be good.
During the season. I don't ride year round. I only ride till around Thanksgiving, because my bones don't take the cold weather too well, because I'm old. But anyway, as far as the Washington football team is concerned, I wanted to run this past you. I believe we're definitely trending in the right direction as a team under Ron Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're lacking, I believe, is impact players at key positions. And I think that's going to take us to the next step because the young guys actually matured this year. You didn't see a lot of blown assignments like you did last year. So I've heard you mention on your program that the coaches are coaching these guys up, and they seem to be taking to what the coaches are saying, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think in order to go to the next level, we need to get a number one wide receiver to go next to Terry McLaurin.
I agree with that.
They can't just double him exclusively. Also, on the defensive side of the ball in this draft in free agency, we need to get a middle linebacker that can run from one side of the field to the other with speed. That's lacking. I think Cole Holcomb will get better next year. He'll probably get bigger and stronger, which will be an improvement. But we definitely need to upgrade at the linebacker position, particularly in the middle. And as far as the secondary is concerned, I believe we need a safety, a free safety with speed, and that can cover. Because if we get that on the back end along with the guys that we have at safety right now that prove that they can actually be effective, if we have impact players at those positions and we continue to build depth on the offensive line, I think we'll be able to go to the next level. I like Heinicke. I think he's good. Kyle Allen is okay, but both of those guys are injury prone, and I echo the same sentiments of the previous caller. They're going to get hurt because of how they play. So they're going to have to get another quarterback. Perhaps I don't want to use a first-round draft pick on one of these guys that's coming out. But they do need to get another quarterback on the roster, and I think that I hope Alex Smith retires because, you know, he should be able to grow up with his family and his kids and enjoy them. Because if he keeps going out there playing, you know, who wants to say he doesn't lose his leg, you know, if he continues to play. And I think he's done well if they offer him a front office position of some type, mentoring the quarterbacks or whatever. But I think he's valuable if he wants to stay around. But I do think he should retire for his own sake.
Right.
And I just want to hear your sentiments, and maybe with your guy that's taking the calls, we can coordinate on the bike ride.
Yeah, just hold on, Shannon. I gave him my number to give to you.
Okay.
All right, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold here. All right, there we go. And but I agree. I think, listen, I'm not saying Taylor or Kyle could be the guy. I think somebody else is going to be needed. But what you said about other players, impact players, yeah, they need that. And I think this year Ron was trying to build a base, okay, a nucleus. And he had a lot of young guys who learned how to play the game. They didn't spend a ton of money in the offseason. Now you may have an opportunity to go out there and spend some of that money and get some people, impact players at certain positions. Because I believe there needs to be one that's consistent again on the opposite of Terry. I believe you can have somebody at the linebacker core. Because I believe you need to have somebody at each level. D-line, which we got, safety, and linebackers. Whenever you're on the defensive side of the ball, I believe Cameron Curl could be the guy because I think he's shown this year he's very capable of doing some great things. So we'll see how that goes for him. But, yes, this is a team that's moving in the right direction. Let's hit Jay in Richmond. What's up, Jay? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, B. Mitch? How's it going, brother?
I'm chilling, man.
Hey, I want to talk about a couple things. You know, recently I was diagnosed with colon cancer back in November. I have been dropping hints here and there, but I finally got my final diagnosis yesterday, man. And what I want to talk about is, real quick, to us men, how I found this stuff. overweight, 350 pounds, sedentary lifestyle, wasn't moving. My job gives me extended to get a physical every year, like $500. Hey, go get a physical, get checked out. I tried to get the physical, couldn't get one, so I switched doctors just to get that $500. Went to a more seasoned doctor. He did a stool sample, came back with blood. Blood was in the sample. It was the type of blood that you could not see. It was microscopic. They set me up for a colostomy and found I had a tumor on my colon. That tumor, after I had surgery, was found because I caught it early. It was contained inside the polyp, and it was spread through my body. Got told yesterday I don't need chemo. I'm cancer-free. Since that diagnosis, I lost 35 pounds, working out, eating clean, holding myself accountable. And I just want to reach you guys, everybody out there, man, for the love of your families. Get String. Take care of yourselves. And with that, B, I'm going to pitch that to you, man.
Well, Jay, I appreciate that, man, because I believe that's one thing about us, especially African-American, man, we don't like to go to the doctor. And I think we all need to go out there and make sure that we're there because, like you're saying, be there for your family. Because, you know, they want us there. They're dependent on us. They love us. And if we love them, we need to make sure we're going to go do what we can to make sure we can be around for them. So I appreciate you saying that, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, let's take a break here. We get back. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, team980.com, and the radio.com app. We'll take a few more calls, and then Chris Miles will be joining us a little bit later on in the show. This is the Brian Mitchell Show.
You can listen to the Team 980 on your smart speaker. Just say, play the Team 980.